Larry got me this morning. He asked, he said, what was the sermon title of the sermon's last words? And he asked me, he said, what were the last words of Jesus? Right? And I thought for a minute and I said, it is finished. Right? And he said he gave up the ghost. But those weren't the last words that Jesus spoke, because remember, he raised from the dead and he came back. And so my thought was before the cross. See, I know he rose, and I know he came back, and I know he talked to the disciples, but see how our minds can understand something but not really put it together? And see, teaching brings this out so we understand in a better way, so that we can, our knowledge will expound and we can be firmer in our beliefs. And so the last thing that Jesus said was when he spoke to the churches, and he said, repent. That's not an easy life to live, because it means that you have to look at yourself. You have to see where you fall short, and all the good things that you do. Because you know, sometimes I think that we feel like that if we failed one place, you know, that we're worthless for anything else, and that's just not the case. That we have strengths and we have weaknesses, and so a lifestyle of repentance means that you try to overcome your weaknesses. You try to get stronger in them, and that is a very difficult process. It's labor intensive and it's painful, but a life of repentance is what the church does. But anyway, I was watching this show the other day, and this guy was working out in a field and by himself. And it was snowing. And he got out of the truck to repair part of the fence. And he didn't put it in park. He left it neutral. And the truck rolled back and pinned him up against the fence. And, you know, he tried to push the truck off. And, you know, he got to where he was. His mind was that I can get out of this, right? Then he come to a point as hours passed and it started getting dark and the temperatures were dropping to like 30 below. He was coming to the point where he realized that he wasn't getting out of this. And so he wanted to leave. He had his phone close by, and so he got his phone to take a dictation to because it wouldn't have signal to call anybody, but it would take dictation. And, I mean, it's a movie. They had to work it out some way. So, to take dictation. And so he spoke to his wife and his child, right? Left them a little letter. And it got me to thinking. I was watching this, and it got me to thinking. I was like, what would my last words be? What would your last words be? You know, what would our last words be if we had time to think about them? Because he did. He fought every way possible, and he came to a place where he realized, you know, unless something changes, and I don't see that happening, I'm going to die. And so he had a moment to think about what he wanted to say. If we had time to think about our last words, because, you know, we don't always have a chance to make things right. Early on in our marriage, my wife had taught me that when you got mad, you shouldn't go to bed mad, you know. And over 20 years, you know, sometimes we go to bed mad now. But it's not because we don't know what's right. It's just because we're angry, we're tired, and, you know, don't really mean anything by it. We'll just let it go and get up the next morning and you know, I leave the house before anybody else does, and I don't always, you know, wake her up and give her a kiss or anything. But it's not that I may not come home to her; it's that she may never come home to me. Right? Works both ways. And so you don't always get a chance to say the right things to the people that you care most about. That, you know, typically you treat the worst, right? People that are of your family, people that you have gotten to know, that you have opened your heart to, you probably at times treat them and talk to them worse than you would talk to anybody else. You know, you wouldn't even talk to a stranger on Dead Row the way that you just talked to me, right? You would give them more respect than you would give me. And, you know, that's just part of who we are. When we trust someone, we let them see everything about us because we trust them, right? But those people that we love the most, sometimes we want to make amends and those things don't happen. Sometimes, and so if you really had a moment to think about what your last words would be, and I'm not just talking about, you know, two words. I'm talking about if you could say something to someone, who would that be and what would you say? Luke 9:61, and another also said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who were at my house." Right? Jesus at this time was traveling around, and this wasn't like we were staying in hotels. We had cell phones that we could stay in touch with one another. I mean, if you were going to follow Jesus, you were probably going to be gone for months at a time. Right? I mean, I don't know. It's realistic. He walked around the Sea of Galilee. That's pretty much where his ministry stuck around. And he went into Samaria, passed through these different regions, and travel was slow because here we're walking along and they're thinking, looking at their sundial, looking up, thinking, man, you know, if we hurry up, I might be able to make it home this weekend. And then somebody comes up to Jesus and says, "Let me ask you a question." You're like, "Oh my gosh, we'll be here for a week." You know, didn't know how long it's going to take. You're going to be gone a little while. So when this guy wanted to... When this guy wanted to go and tell his family farewell, and those were who were at his house, maybe he had some extended family over, but it's just pretty much those that were special. This is not uncommon, is it? Right? If we could have our last words to someone, it would probably be someone in our family. It wouldn't be somebody at work. It wouldn't be somebody from our poker night or our knitting class or our yoga class or whatever it is that we're doing, right? It would be probably family. So what this guy wanted to do was probably not a big deal, right? But you remember what Jesus said. He said, "Let the dead go bury their dead." Those we love the most, we want to tell them one more time, right? People that know that you love them I was watching this other movie last night, and the bond between a soldier and his commander. You know, this guy fights for this guy. This guy trusts what he says, and he will die for him based on what he says, right? It's a very close, very mental, very, very damaging relationship, what could happen afterwards, right? People carry a lot of scars from that type of relationship when you go through something that soldiers do on the battlefield. And here this guy was dying. He had a wound that he wasn't coming back from, and he knew it. And he started to talk about all these things, and his commander was right there, and he was keeping him focused, and he was talking to him, and he was reaching out to his commander, putting his own head, and he's like, "Don't leave me." And he says, "I'm not going anywhere, son. I'm right here." He says, "I'm right here," right? Those that we love the most, we want to tell them one more time. And he said, "Make sure they know that I love them." I mean, of course they know. My wife knows that I love her. You know why? I haven't left. She hasn't left me. I mean, I know that she loves me because of what we put each other through and the fact that we can still laugh and not think about that stuff all the time. We love each other. But if that was part of my last words, if I was to say it to her, it would be let her know that I love you. Just one more time, right? Matthew 23:24 says, "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, then come and offer your gift." Forgiveness. We've been denying, or just to say, "I'm sorry." Right? There's a song out. It's the guy that's married to... The singer, he wears the cowboy hat. No, get the give forgiveness I've been denying. You know, no, it wasn't. Gosh, what is his name? He's got the, he had the Travis. Is it Travis Tritt that said it's a great day to be alive? No, no. What would you do? How did you? What he said? Gosh, this is terrible. He said, I rode a bull for 2.33 seconds named Fu Manchu. And he says, I went skydiving when he said he found out you were dying. What is the, well, who is it that sings that? Right, okay, so anyway, I'll get past. That's it, that's okay. Yeah, that's it, all right, thank you. I knew, I was right on my left, I could see him with his black cowboy hat, and I just, but he said, when you found out you were dying, he said, how did you do? How did you take that news? What did you do? And he went and did all the things that he wanted to do that he knew he wouldn't get. He was been putting off, and he knew it wasn't going to get. One of those things was, he says, I gave forgiveness that I had been denying. See, this tells us something very important about the way that we think. We can be mad, and we can know that we want to forgive, but we're not going to. Right? We're going to hold that grudge. They are. Life of repentance, remember? A life of repentance. We lead a life of repentance. So anyway, the idea is that this guy found out he was dying in the song, and so he went to the people that he knew he needed to forgive, but he didn't want to, and he went to them and he asked for their forgiveness. That tells us that we know that we wrongfully carry a grudge, and we don't want to carry that grudge, but we will not forgive those that we're mad at sometimes. And I'm here to tell you, you may not get a chance to do it. And what Jesus wants us to see in this instance, I mean, all these, you know, sermons are about us looking at ourselves and how we handle the circumstances around us, because we didn't create all of them that we were in. Some of them we did, some of them we didn't. And he's just asking, he's trying to get us to see, if you wait to give this forgiveness, you will have to carry this burden the rest of your life. And he says, I don't want you to have to do that. And it is not easy for someone that you were right, they deserved it, they were in the wrong, to go to them and say, I'm sorry. I don't want this to be between the two of us, right? And God says, here, he tells you that when we come around this table to commune with him, if there's something that we know needs to be handled with our brethren, handle it. Handle it. I think that in the over 10 years that I've been doing this, I think that I've grown some, okay? And I think that early on that I had the teaching styles a little bit different. I think that I've learned some things about how that I should talk to people and how I shouldn't talk to people, right? I mean, I wasn't born into this position. If someone thought that I knew what I was doing when I stepped up here because I knew a little bit about the Bible, then they don't understand what it takes to advance, right? When you're a woman, you know the things of a woman, but then when you become a mother, guess what? Whole different ball game. Whole different ball game. And then when you're a mother and you become a grandmother, whole different ball game there. You were a mother, you think you'd know how to handle yourself as a grandmother. Whole different ball game. So, right where I was going with this. When I've grown and I've learned how to talk, and there are things that we learn. Oh, okay, well, there's things that we learn as we progress. And one of the things that I have learned . Not everything is worth an argument, even if it's wrong, right? And you wouldn't expect to hear that in a church where the truth is you don't lie, right? And I'm not talking about lying. I'm talking about there is a bigger picture here. There are souls that we deal with. There are souls that you deal with, and there are souls that I deal with. And they're the same. They are. Things are not worth causing a division between the two of us to the point where one of us would leave. Right? Because you can walk out, but you know, so can I. It's not worth it. Because we have to grow together, and when you plant and cultivate and weed eat and trim, there's a lot of things that happen to make that grow, right? And what I've learned is that sometimes it is better to make peace than it is to prove that you're right. You can't do that all the time, right? You cannot do that all the time. There are times and certain things that we cannot back up on, but the majority of things that cause problems in congregations, it's not worth causing the problem over. It's not. And Jesus said here that if we have a problem, we handle it. Forgiveness we've been denying, because when we are dying and we realize this is it, you just want to tell that person, you know, I am sorry. I'm sorry. And then most of the time, you know what they say? They hold your face and they'll say, I'm sorry too. And then you know what you realize? You wasted all that time together. And for what? You were both sorry that it ever happened. No real discussion of who was right, who was wrong. I'm just sorry that it happened. Right? It's no different when Jesus, when He spoke His last words. You know that? Matthew 27:46. In about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? That guy that was penned up with that fence, he looked to the person that he loved the most. It was his wife. And his infant child, he was, you know, they wouldn't know what was going on, but he looked to his wife. Jesus looked to His Father when He was dying. All these people around Him, and He looked to His Father when He was dying. He looked to the one that He loved the most, which was His Father. His last words, and I'm not just talking about the last words, I'm talking about when he went on that cross, before He died, these were His last words that He spoke, right? Make sure that the ones that you love know that you love them, right? Work it out. Work it out. You are two different people. Don't expect them to be who you want them to be. They shouldn't expect you to be the person that they want you to be. You are your own person. You brought into this relationship, and certainly you grow together and you change, but who you are, there's going to come a point when what they want and who you are going to start to divide, and they just have to accept that. Right? They have to accept that. Jesus looked to the one He loved the most, which was His Father. He had to come to the point to know, and He knew this, but He had to come to the point to know that He had done what the Father wanted. But why did He ask, why have you forsaken me? The place that we find ourselves in our deaths, they may not be ideal. This Jesus knew, because He told the disciples, He knew what kind of death He was going to die. But this is not how He wanted to die. But when he was dying, His last words was He was looking at the Father, the one that He loved the most. No different than what we would have done, right? Of all the things that could have been said in condemnation for us, here he is hanging on this tree, and he looks to the Father. And if there was ever a time that Jesus had every right to shoot his mouth off about us, it would have been right then and there. I did everything that you wanted. I listened to them. I healed them. I forgave them. And look what they did to me. Me! Look what they did to me, who I am. If there was ever a time that Jesus could have condemned us, it was right then and there. Because he had not done anything deserving of putting him on that tree. And you say, well, you don't know that. Well, I can tell you what, the charges that were brought against him to put him on that tree, they were lies. Even the one that had the power to let him go, and the point that behind this, when you had the two Barabbas and him, it was to please the people, they said, what has this man done to deserve this? You see, he didn't deserve to be there. Even if they didn't like him, even if they didn't want to be around him, if they didn't like what he said, he did not do anything to deserve where he was at. Even the world looked at him and says, he don't deserve it. And they said, kill him. Crucify him. We don't care. Let his blood be on our hands. Kill him. We want him gone. But he did not deserve to be there. And he could have condemned us. If you look at the things that happened when he was hanging on that tree, people walked by blaspheming him and wagging their heads. Just found out that you stole from the offering plate, right? And you walk by, people look at him. Right? You know how that feels, right? Look at you and they just go, right? That's a terrible feeling. Everybody knows what you did. And they walk by. Of course, he didn't. But walk by wagging their heads. And he says, you who said you destroyed the temple and you rebuild it in 3 days. Look at you now. How would that make you feel? How would that make you feel? You didn't even deserve to be there. And people walk by and they talk to you that way. The chief priests and the scribes and the elders. This is a big deal because this was not just the common folk. The common folk were the one that walked by and said that. But the chief priests, those that were supposed to, that would have been nice to gain authority from, right? Maybe your parents, your grandparents, your teachers. You go to your family reunion and people say, where's your son? I said, he's over there. He didn't turn out to be much, did he? And everybody's a laughing stock there, right? Because he was a cocky kid and he said he was going to be the president of the United States. He's going to be the king of the world. And he turned out that he lives in his mom's basement. He don't even have a job and he ain't even got no girlfriends. People said, well, you really turned out to be something. And then you go to your high school reunion and people say, oh, I remember you. You thought you were going to be something. Look at them clothes you're wearing. Where'd you get them from? The Goodwill and everybody, the teen movies where everybody laughs. Ha ha ha, the whole crowd. The chief priests, the scribes and the elders, those that you would want to have their respect. Right? Because of who they were. And they looked at him and they said, boy, you talked a big game. You saved others, but you can't even save yourself. Why don't you come down off of that tree right there and then we'll believe in you. Huh? Come on down. Huh? Come on down. We'll believe in you. He didn't deserve to be there. And further people said, well, I tell you what, you boys, let's calm this thing down. Let's just calm this down. He said, he trusted in God. He said, I am God's son. And he says, let's see if God will save him. That'll prove to him, right? That'll prove it. If God, if he said, God is my son, I mean, he says, I am the Son of God, And he's up on that tree, and he said, if he is truly God's son, God will save him. Had every right to condemn us. Every right to condemn us. But you know what he did? His last words was he asked for our forgiveness. All these things happened to him. He said, Father, forgive them. But they don't know what they're doing. I want you to see that what we thought was normal in the beginning about what we would do with our last words. What is that? Oh, is that the, okay, I hear. All right. Yeah, he probably is. Old hound dog out there. Anyway, we thought that it would be normal for us to reach out to the one we love and to ask forgiveness. Those would have been probably the two things that were on our list, that we would have done, and we would have thought that that was reasonable. And Jesus did the same thing. He looked to the one that was on the cross, the Father who he loved the most, but it wasn't his forgiveness that he asked for. He asked for our forgiveness. And you know how much love and how much understanding and how much pain it would bring you to seek forgiveness for somebody that you had been mad at for the past 20 years? What place in your life you would have to be to absolve all that anger and all that frustration and just want to reach out and forgive that person. With Christ, when he asked for our forgiveness, can you imagine what kind of love that he had to give you a chance to say, don't condemn them, Father, not yet. Give them a chance. And that's why Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world. It didn't mean that he come in and he was going to look the other way and all these things. It simply meant that he had every right to condemn you, but he wasn't going to do that yet. He was going to give you a chance. But there will come a day when that condemnation will come and judgment. People talk about the love of God, and they talk about that he didn't come to condemn the world, and they use these scriptures and they say, see, he didn't come to condemn the world, so you can't condemn me either. And you know what? He's right. Because there's not a lot of difference between you and me. You fail, I fail. I have people that I need to forgive. You might have some, you too. There's people that you love so much, and you know what? They're probably not even here today. Right? And you would want to reach out to them one more time and say, I love you. But Jesus said, he said, I'm not going to condemn them. I see them for who they are. I want to reach out to them and hold them. I want to tell them I love them one more time. I want them to be forgiven. I don't want you to hold this against them. I want them to be forgiven. But if they won't listen and they won't turn and they took that chance and they squandered it, then the judgment will come. But it doesn't mean he's looking the other way. It just means he's giving you a chance. And what you do with that chance is your business. Because I can't make you do it either. And you can't make me do it. You better be here because you love the Lord and he's the one that you would look to. Jesus had his mom right there. You know that? He had his mom right there. But he reached out to his Father in heaven because that's the one that he loved the most. Now, he said something to his mother. John was there, and it was recorded in the Gospel of John. And he said, woman, behold your son. And he said, son, behold your mother. The Bible says from that time on, she took care of him, he took care of her. He did mention it to her, but his focus was on the Father's will and our forgiveness. And God has given us a chance. He's told us, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. He's given you a chance. And there are people that will take that chance and they will squander it. There are people that will take that chance and they will take advantage of it. We might have even been one of those people. I was 29 years old when I was immersed into Christ and I accepted the gospel. That chance had been offered. I had been in congregations and the chance was offered to reconcile with God. And I didn't do it. Denominational teachings wouldn't bring about a conversion, but even when I thought it was the truth, I ignored it. The Bible lays out a plan of salvation, not man. And God has given us a chance. He says that every man, He calls every man, each one of us is called, and He's called through that gospel. And so now's the time that we should answer that call if we haven't before. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?